Recently, in a book, Father Robert Barron pointed out the resemblance between these narratives, these stories in the Gospels, and an icon. First, he distinguished with one of the philosophers the difference between an icon and an idol. An idol draws us to itself. An icon draws us through itself to God. Now, the stories that we have, the narratives that we have in the Gospels, are verbal icons. You see, they're not just information. You see, they are something to be gazed at by our spirit. We can use our imagination. St. Ignatius, his whole theory of meditation is that you put yourself in this place and then gaze at it, right? Use your imagination. Our imagination works anyway. When we hear the story, we can see, you know, Joseph and Mary coming into the temple, you know, one of them holding Jesus, and this old man coming and taking Jesus in his arms and blessing God. You can see that, right? Now, let it draw you into itself. This is a mystery. You see, the whole reason why we have a liturgy, why we have these readings, why we have these songs, is to draw us so that that mystery touches us. The whole reason we have preaching is to break open the bread of the Word, you know, to bring us in touch with that mystery. The whole reason we have a rosary is the same, to meditate, you know, this presentation. Mary made an offering of Jesus to God the Father there that day in anticipation of the offering she would make when he was dying on the cross. You could see her, you know, giving up her son, giving up her privilege. I am the mother of the very Son of God, but he belongs to you. Just think about that. And these are, what, she's 17, 18, maybe he's 24, 25, you know. And they know this. They know this. As I've said so many times, in every action, there's a hidden interior dimension, right? Simeon picked it up. Anna picked it up. You see, it belongs in some ways to the gift of prophecy. But these narratives are told to us so that this reality is present to us, so that we can gaze on it and understand it. Huh? It's so abundant, of course. I mean, there have been saints and mystics and theologians preaching on this now for almost 2 millennia. And we haven't begun. You know, God being brought in to be presented to God. The new temple being brought to the old temple. Destroy this temple, he said, and in 3 days I'll build it up. You see this? The light of the world being brought in, you see, to the temple. The light of the world. Light escapes us, doesn't it? We don't really know what it is. But here he says, you see, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel, who gave the world its Savior through Mary. And so we see this there, this presentation. In the Eastern Rite, they call this the Feast of the Meeting, Hipapanti. The meeting. There are so many meetings here, right? The profound one, Jesus, a tiny infant, the eternal Son of God, is brought into the temple to meet his father, whom he knows and who is at the very depth of his own heart. But he comes, you see, and he comes to the temple, the place of praise and love and sacrifice. And Mary holds him up here. Simeon prophesies, you see. Yes, now you can let your servant go in peace, as you promised. My eyes have seen your salvation. I see it here in this child. Salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples. This old man, this Jewish man, he holds Jesus and he says, this is the salvation for the whole world. Finally, Israel will achieve its vocation and bring to the world light, salvation. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. And then, you see, he goes on to show the mysterious dimension of the revelation of this life. This child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. A sign that will be contradicted. The light contradicted. Remember, she's standing there. The greatest mystic who ever lived, standing there, getting it. She already did. You know, she read Isaiah. She knew it. When this one comes, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to preach good news to the poor, to bring freedom to the captives, you know, and he's the one, we saw him, and there was no beauty in him. We turned our eyes from him. It was, you know, our sins that he carried. It was the discipline of our peace. She knows. And so, to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. When God is among us, the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. It's amazing, isn't it? Some harden themselves, laugh, walk away. Some get a little bit excited, but not much. And others, their whole life is changed. Every heart will be revealed by the light of Christ. Every heart. So that's what we celebrate today, the Feast of the Meeting. The Word of God, the Son of God, eternal Son of God, comes to meet his Father. And he's this big. And Mary offers him with her whole heart. He is yours, Father. He's not mine. He is yours. I will love him. He is my child. He is my Lord. I will protect him. I will care for him. I will teach him all that his human mind must know. But I know that a day will come when a sword will pierce my heart. And I embrace that too. Because on the other side of that, this is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.